Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessed opportunity you've given us to gather in your house once again and to study your word. Help us now as we continue our study on the disciples to understand the importance of looking at their lives and seeing the examples so that we can abide by that as well. Take those examples and adjust our lives to be able to bring honor and glory to you. We thank you so much for that as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our series on the disciples of Jesus Christ, still on the disciple Andrew, let's pick it up in Mark chapter 1. We see here where Andrew is given the awesome opportunity to witness some healing in Mark chapter 1 and verse 29. It says, "Forthwith when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and Anon they tell him of her." Anon means without haste or without any delay. "And he came and took," of course, speaking of Jesus Christ here, "and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them." So here we see the ones that were able to witness that were Simon and Andrew, and with them was James and John. Now, the Simon here is Simon Peter, because we have another Simon that's a disciple, but this is speaking of the brothers here, Simon and Andrew, or Peter and Andrew. And then, of course, James and John also were able to witness this event. Turn, if you will, over to Mark chapter 13. In Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8 here, reads, "And as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones are, and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Of course, that was prophecy. Prophecy that was fulfilled around 70 AD. And it was totally wiped out. The temple, all those buildings in that area, all the way down to the foundation plate, all the way down. And that's all you see over there now is the mount, basically the flat area that they built the buildings upon. It's all there. And now you have other buildings that have been built upon that. You have that they call the Dome of the Rock. And that's actually in possession of the Muslims. So all this things prophesied, fulfilled, which gives us so much motivation when we see the prophecies of what's going to happen later. And we know the next great prophetic event to occur is the rapture of the church. When we see these little things that were presented to them and then fulfilled, and it just should excite you and let you know that all that is going to be fulfilled will be fulfilled in the intricate detail that has been given. As it continues, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows." Of course, you can continue reading that about the last days, and then over in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, see some more revelation of those prophecies of the last days, and of course, see them in the book of Revelation and elsewhere. In John chapter 6, verse 1, it reads, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Being able to see that and witness that, that multiplication of what was right there, taking so little and multiplying it into so much. Power of the Lord, which he shows on us so often, how he can take something of such small significance that we would think something of small amount and just multiply it and use it in great ways. And that's little of what we could see in this. That's somewhat, I should say, of what we could learn from that miracle that took place there. The example, how the Lord can take something that isn't very significant in our eyes or doesn't seem to be much, and he can multiply it to and make a great work of it. We might think ourselves not to be very much, but the Lord can take us and use us in a great way. We might think of our skills or our abilities or our prosperity not very much, but the Lord can take that and multiply it and use it in great ways. You've got to remember that. All right, now let's look at an event we've seen already, but let's touch on it again because it does have to do with Andrew as well. Of course, this is such an awesome event. It's always nice to look back at it and remember it. And that, of course, is the ascension of Jesus Christ. If you will, look at Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, we'll pick it up right here in verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Praise the Lord for that. We know we are all looking forward to that. It then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount of called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Such an awesome event that we can always look at and rejoice about. That there were so many there and were able to see his ascension and be able to know that he's going to come back. That he's going to come back to receive us as he has told us over and over in his word. And the most important place that we can look at that, of course, is John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And praise the Lord for that, knowing that that is going to be fulfilled, that he is coming back and getting us. And also another awesome event here that Andrew was able to have a part of, as well as the other disciples. But let's look at it here with Andrew's experience in mind in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 here, where he's able to be indwelt with the Holy Ghost, which was a life-altering event. And we all now, when we trust Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, are immediately indwelt with the Holy Ghost, which changes our lives, which turns us into a new creature with a new mind. And then what we do with that depends on us individually, what we have chosen to do with the access to the power that is there will determine what you receive in a matter of blessings and rewards and so forth. But here we see this event in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. An awesome event there that they all were indwelt with that Holy Ghost. It said that there were some 120 people there at that time that were all indwelt. And they went out with boldness and with understanding, which comes along with receiving the Holy Ghost. Enlightens you, opens your eyes that you can understand the Word of God, and then share that with others. That's what Andrew and the others got into right away once they received that. And that's pretty much all that you hear about with Andrew in the Scriptures. There are several of the disciples that we have very little information about. And some of them we have merely their name mentioned. And that's pretty much it. But let's look at another one next here, which is Philip. All right, now let's look at the next disciple that we're going to be studying a little bit on here, and that's Philip. We've already mentioned his name a few times, but let's look as individually what he has gotten into. And of course, it starts in John chapter 1. All right, we'll start here with John chapter 1 and verse 43. It reads, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter." Now it's believed that Philip had a very good understanding of Greek, to be able to speak and communicate in Greek. "As Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now note how quickly that Philip and Andrew were set out to start spreading the gospel. Start bringing others in. Because as we've studied, Andrew went after Peter and brought Peter in on it. Now Philip, he's going out and bringing Nathanael in. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. An awesome experience there for both Philip and Nathanael. Now here in chapter 6, we just read this earlier about Andrew. But let's touch a little bit more on the beginning part of this concerning Philip. And in John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip. No, he's specifically addressing Philip in this setting because he's testing Philip. If you go through the histories of the various disciples and the interactions with Jesus Christ, many times we see references to how he tested them, how he tried them, how he inquired of them to see where their faith was. What level of understanding had they already received? So this was directly to Philip. When shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus already knew what he was going to do. But he's questioning Philip. What do you think we're going to do? Where are we going to buy so much bread that we need this for? And this he said to prove or to test. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. So he was all thinking in the natural world. He wasn't understanding and comprehending what he had already said himself, that he was speaking to the Messiah. But he was so focused on just what was right there at that time, as many of us wind up doing. We forget that we have Jesus Christ living in us in the form of the Holy Ghost and access to unlimited power and authority if we just tap into it. And of course, you can continue reading there the event like we read earlier about the feeding of the 5,000 plus the women and children and how there was so much of it left over and so forth. But now let's go on over to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12 here, we see a reference that would give us the indication that Philip had a connection with the Greeks. In John chapter 12, in verse 20, it reads, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip. No. They needed to approach somebody that they could understand and could understand them, and they approached Philip. This is where they get the concept or the understanding that Philip must have been able to communicate to the Greeks and be able to speak Greek. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So he was a messenger. He was communicating things right from the Greeks to Jesus. Of course, Jesus was able to speak and understand all languages, but they didn't know that. They came to Philip to try to communicate and find out where Jesus was. All right, let's look on over to chapter 14. We see here in chapter 14, in verse 1, an event where Philip is questioning once again. If you remember back then at the beginning where he was one of the first to go spread the gospel that the Lord has come, now he's still questioning and he's still doubting because he hadn't received the Holy Ghost quite yet. In John chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." That statement there, verse 4, is the key part of this. "Because Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, that it sufficeth us. And then Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" This would allude to the reasons why Jesus was testing Philip earlier, trying to see how far Philip had come in his understanding of what was going on right in front of him. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and that and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And that's some awesome words right there. And he says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." And then, next reference we see, of course, is Philip receiving the Holy Ghost. As we have just read earlier, with him being there after the resurrection, 40 days after the resurrection, right there at the day of ascension in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. We'll just read this one verse here, verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Over there that we just read in chapter 14, Jesus was telling them that this was going to come to be, that they was going to receive this power. Reemphasizing that right here, shortly before his ascension. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and into all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And that's part of that great commission that he's given to all of us, that we all need to do like the disciples were doing, to go on out. And of course, there in chapter 2, when they receive that indwelling of the Holy Ghost that we read earlier, you can see how Philip was part of that as well, receiving and being indwelt with that Holy Spirit and being able to have that opportunity to be a part of the work of Jesus Christ. And we need to know and understand that we have that great commission given to us, which is given to us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Thus we see these other two disciples here added to our list, and so many things that they've been able to experience, and know that we have the opportunity to experience things in the Lord as well. When we trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and He indwells us with the Holy Ghost, then we have that power, that authority, that opportunity to be a part of His work. Let's take that opportunity and use it to the fullest. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. It's awesome. Written so long ago and yet still applies today and will definitely apply tomorrow. Help us to realize that, appreciate that, and utilize it to the fullest. And take every opportunity you put before us to step on up and do the work you have available for us to be a part of. Thank you once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.